If you find this podcast, this is for you. Our lives are written in ink. There are no backspaces, cancels, or delete buttons. But beauty and redemption emerge when we embrace our ink-stained imperfections and share them with one another. This is how we find our strength. This is how we renew our resolve. This is how we overcome. You're listening to the Inkfully Podcast, and I'm your host, Tanya Woods. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Inkfully Podcast. Thank you so much for joining me for another episode. I missed you guys. It's been like a week or two since I've been on here chatting with you. So thank you again for just hanging out with me. We have a really good show for you today. I am so excited to speak with my guest. And okay, let me just say it like this. Have you ever met one of those people that when you like found their page or you met them, you wanted to like run and tell everyone about them? You're like, girl, go check her out. Go check this person out. That's how I feel about my guest today. And her name is Ariel Soria. And Ariel, how would I describe her? You are, well, I stumbled across your page about 3 or 4 years ago, maybe 2015 or 2016. And that time, I feel like you were still using your words, just as you do now, using your words and your social space to balance this rawness and truth. You offer words, not for the ears, but for the soul. That's your motto. I love that. She speaks words that remind us of our identity and our worthiness. Ariel is a California girl. She's a creative, an author, a writer, a speaker, a poet, an actress, an influencer. Oh my gosh, all the things, okay? All the things. The list is stacked. But outside of all your accolades, I think the thing that I love most about Ariel is that you are an all-around dope, humble, and soul-nourishing human being. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. So thank you for what you do. Thank you for how you show up. So before we get started, say hey to the people. Ariel Soria, guys. Say hey to the people.
Hey.
Thank you again for joining me today. It means so much to me. I know we were trying to get through some logistics. So thank you for coming to the show today.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited to be here.
Yes. Okay. So where do we start? So the reason why I brought you on is because all summer long on the Inkfully Podcast, we're talking about cultivating a healthy relationship with ourselves and with others. And as it relates to ourselves, I just know that summer is here. Summer is here, child. Sun's out, bum's out, right? And we know that summer can sometimes bring up all those insecurities that we so cleverly like layer and hide in the fall and winter months, right?
Yeah.
So, but that sun is not coming to play any games. We cannot hide from the heat. Like whether you want to or not, skin is going to show. And I know that you have been using your platform, you know, your spaces to kind of have more relationships about, have more conversations surrounding body positivity, the body positivity movement and representing for the Curvy Girls. And so I wanted to bring you on specifically to talk about our relationships as it relates to our body and your personal story and your journey with that. So is that cool with you today?
Yeah, I love that.
Awesome. Well, okay, so, well, for people who don't know, for the people in the back, what is body positivity? Like, what is that all about? And then how did you personally decide to occupy this message or space?
Yeah, so I think I started watching body positivity show up, especially in the social media world, because there is this, you know, separation of curve models and plus size models. Mm-hmm. And it was like, oh, you can be not a size 0 or 2 and be a model. And so these conversations started to bring up, okay, well, why is that now this newfound thing, you know, where Ashley Graham or whoever broke out in this world and they were like, I'm curvy, I'm beautiful, I also deserve to be behind the camera. And so I think a lot of it came from this deconstruction and reconstruction of what media portrays as beautiful and acceptable, as what media portrays as enlightening in terms of like aesthetically pleasing. And I think the deconstruction came from like everyone is worthy, everybody is beautiful. And so it was like this whole body positivity versus surrounding ourselves with all these magazines on how to lose weight and how to wear this slimmer and how to do this and how to have this diet. And like, we're saturated, even still, you know, we're saturated with those messages. And so I think body positivity came around and was kind of like, you know, the aunt who gives like really good hugs. Yes, I feel like that's what body positivity is trying to do right now. Like, oh, baby, what you need? You need some food. You need, you know, you need some love. Like, look at you. And so I think that's what body positivity is right now. Like this, how can we have a positive conversation amongst all this negative, right? Mm-hmm. The conversations in media and social media, it's like who you are right now is not enough, right? Mm-hmm. Who you are right now is not your best. Who you are right now is not worthy of being loved. And body positivity comes in and says, no, who you are right now is enough. Who you are right now is worthy of being loved.
Yes.
And then, you know, reworking those conversations of like, okay, if you're going to go on a diet, it's not so that you can just be skinny and that can be whatever, but it's more so because you love your body. You want to take care of your body and things like that. And so I decided to jump on that train because of my own processing through my, I call it my body love journey.
Yeah.
And really trying to like embrace these curves. Like my dad is an ex NFL football player. So I'm built like him. And like, I have his hips, I have his thighs. And I think I might have my mom's butt, but all that to say, like, I'm stacked. And I've always been that way. And so I've always felt bigger than all my friends who I used to call like pixies. They're just like little tiny humans. They're just real cute, you know, and tiny. And I never like associated myself with that. And so it really just came about like, I felt like my body and me were two, and I'm still learning this, were two separate things. Mm-hmm. And so my body love journey has been this integration of mind, body, and soul all existing within the same human being and all existing within me. And so in addition to loving hips and curves that may be bigger, you know, or thicker than most people around me. And so I think by nature, that conversation kind of approached me a little bit in terms of social media. The first campaigns and things that I did were swimsuits. And I was like,
right. What? Wait, so were you seeking that out, or did it like come, did it come to you?
No. I sought that out in no capacity. I was like, I would get these emails from these companies and I'm like, I'm sorry, you want me to put what?
Right, ma'am.
You know, like, why? Like, come again. And so, and it's funny because I'm actually planning this post for later because I just shot like three swimsuits that I have to post over the next couple of weeks. And I just think about this one picture of me as a kid and I'm with all my siblings and they're in their swimsuits and their tank tops. And I'm straight up like 10 years old in a turtleneck, like absolutely in a turtleneck. And so I think about that so often because that was ingrained in me as a little girl, you know, just like not feeling, I mean, growing up in faith and purity culture. And it's like, oh, you better wear a big old t-shirt over that, you know, so you don't cause the boys to stumble. And so I got in this repetition, I got in this not only mindset, but lifestyle of hiding. And I didn't realize how detrimental that was until, you know, I get a swimsuit campaign and I'm petrified to post it, you know, like terrified to post it. And that's been a working, but I think those conversations came at the same time as I was learning to grapple what it looks like to have this body and this soul and this mind be one entity. These companies were like, we love how you storytell and we want to be part of that with a swimsuit.
Yeah. So that's with the swimsuit.
So that's how that kind of unraveled.
Okay. Man, that, all of that, I feel like so many women can relate to. And it's so funny. You literally hit on all the things that we're going to kind of just dig a little deeper into. So I'm so glad that really gives, I feel like a lot of us who are looking for like, you know, where I feel like body positivity can relate to the every woman, right? Like you said, everybody, because it's like I haven't always identified myself as like a curvy woman. Actually, was really, really small. But I do remember moments when I was like in fifth grade and I was going through like a more chubbier stage in my my thighs were starting to rub, and like, and the boys were making fun of me. And then I remember when I got to middle school and my butt just went from like petite to like girl, back that thing up. And I was just like, I can't, like, it was actually quote unquote good attention, but I didn't want the attention. And I was just like, so confused with my body.
Yeah.
You know? And as I grew up, those narratives stay with you. You know what I mean? Of like what you remember. Even recently I posted a picture. Actually, I was asking someone to take a picture as I was in Miami this weekend. And I asked this guy to take a picture of me and my friends looking at like a rooftop horizon, like from the back, like as if we're staring off, right? And I was like in shock that my like butt was that big. Like, I know that sounds crazy. I literally said to my friends, like, is my butt really this big or is it just the photo? She's like, girl, you know? I was like, no, don't tell me that. But it's like interesting. So anyway, it's been a journey. I'm still on it. I think we all are.
Oh, same. You know? Oh, absolutely. I think 100%. there's self-love and there's body love and all that. But when you get in a relationship with someone, I've noticed how the shift in that conversation of like all the things that I'm grappling with, like, and all the things that I was most insecure. And this is kind of like how I knew my boyfriend was my person, was like, he complimented me on the places that I was most insecure about first. And I had never told him that, you know, I had never shared that with him, but he loved that first.
Right.
And that was like, oh man, like, yeah, self-love, get it, do it, have it. Ooh. But self-love, I think, only sets us up to show us what love coming from another person is really supposed to look like, you know, like us doing that for ourselves creates this blueprint and this guideline for other people to come around and love us really well. And so that a lot of that has been like totally deconstructing, you know, with like the hips and the butt. I'm like, dear God. And he's like, no, it's great.
It's great.
You know, like,
oh my God. We're going to go there. We're going to talk about your relationship. Like, wait, let me dive in. Cause I'm like, oh, we're having girl chat. Okay. So tell me about, you talked a little bit about that, the t-shirt wearing, the younger Ariel, like, tell me about how your earliest memories as it relates to your relationship with your body. Do you remember that? Like the exact moment when you started worrying about
how you look? I very distinctly, I tell this story because this is like the epitome of me and in terms of my body. I like was a pretty weird like kid, and weird in terms of like, I didn't know who I was. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what I stood for entirely. And I didn't, you know, I didn't feel comfortable. I didn't feel at home in my own body. So I wore a lot of baggy things, like all throughout up until high school, really. And like the epitome of that outfit is a camouflage maxi skirt with like ripples in it that I got from Costco.
Not the camouflage.
The camo skirt. And then a guy's, a pretty big guy's t-shirt that said like out of my mind, be back later. And I like cut it right here because like, you know, guy shirts are like really high.
Oh,
I feel
right.
Like I like suffocate in it. And so that was like my go-to outfit.
Wow.
Was like that camo skirt and some type of baggy t-shirt. And I use that as like this imagery of, like I said earlier, a girl who hid, you know, who didn't know how not to hide. And it's funny because my mom is not, my mom is not like that. Mm-hmm. And my sisters are not like that. But I think as the oldest child and, you know, as I just took on an extreme, you know, of a lot of the things that I was raised with. And so when it came time to like dressing for prom and stuff, and my mom and I were actually in LA because it was also a time where I was touring schools. Mm-hmm. And we went to like a BCBG Max Azaria outlet.
Oh, gosh,
and she's having me try all these dresses on. And I'm like, no, like my boobs are out too much or this. And she was like, you know, stop being a grandma. Like, like you have like cute curves and things like that. So I don't know where this like really heavy sense of the need to hide came from, because my mom is not necessarily that way. I mean, she loves her turtlenecks, but we're from the Bay Area, so it's always cold, you know? And my dad has always reminded us of us being beautiful, but I think a lot of it came from, you know, the church just continuously having this conversation that a female's body was sinful or needed to be hid or things like that. And so I grew up with this pressure to just disappear essentially. And so that camouflage skirt and that t-shirt was like the epitome of how I walked up until high school, like in my own body, in my own space. Like I didn't talk a whole lot. I was like that quiet girl. Mm-hmm. Like it's really, people now are like really surprised as to like what I do now and what my career is now. And they're like, what the heck? Like you were not that person, you know, you barely mm-hmm. talked or you just mm-hmm. kind of existed there. And so a lot of it came from that. And that buildup got to college. And I was a resident advisor for 40 freshman girls. Mm-hmm. And in order to go and be a resident advisor, you have to do a 10-day backpacking trip through the Yosemite Wilderness.
What?
And yeah. So I did this backpacking trip.
What school is this? Pause. What school? What school?
Camping. Azusa Pacific University.
Okay.
It's like a private Christian university. So it's like, go find your creator in the woods, you know, kind of conversation.
Wow. Yeah.
And how that builds you up to be a leader. Honestly, still figuring out how that intersects. Cool. And so you do this 10-day backpacking trip and I was terrified. I was like, my body can't do that. Like, there's no way it's going to be too mm-hmm. much. It's going to be overwhelming. I'm going to be uncomfortable. All those things were true. But at the same time, I also underestimated how much my body was capable of. And during that trip, when it's your day to lead your team through the next site, so you lead and trek through the trails and they're all following, all 12 people are following behind you. And I was doing my trip and I'm walking and they kept telling me to slow down. I was like, what do you mean slow down? I'm not even going that fast. Like,
right.
What are you talking about? And then again, they're like, all right, seriously, like you have to slow down. Like people in the team are not able to catch up.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like this really beautiful moment where I was like, oh my goodness. Like I doubted what you were capable of. Like I doubted how far you were able to take me. And all I've done is doubt you. And all you're doing is showing me how resilient and how strong and how beautiful you are. So it was like this really sweet moment where I was like, I think that's where I really saw my body for the first time. Like saw her.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm so sorry, you know? And it was this really gentle moment. And I listened. I think I've been on this journey since then of just listening, you know, and taking into that note. And at the end of that day, I have to share my, you know, life story with my team. And I showed them, you know, about how insecure I was leading up to that trip and how insecure I've been over the past years. And one of the guys on my team was like, I can't wait for you to see yourself the way your creator sees you.
Mm.
And that shifted everything for me. Yeah. That just in terms of like, if you think about your parents and when they look at you, they're like, you drive me crazy. You take all my food and all my money, but you're the most beautiful thing I've ever created.
Yeah.
And to think about how that is seen over you is, it changes everything in terms of how you view yourself. So I get on this hall of 40 girls and the very first question one of them asked me is, how do you find value in yourself? And it just started this whole year long journey of having that conversation, not only with myself, but with these girls. We're trying to figure out what is life, who am I, what am I going to be, what am I going to do in a very pivotal season in their life. And we're having these conversations.
Mm.
Like, what does it mean? What does it look like to find value in yourself? And so a lot of it comes from those very pivotal moments of like that girl, that camouflage skirt, leading into the girl in the wilderness, leading into this woman, leading other girls and other women to this space of acceptance and awareness of like who we are.
That is so beautiful. I love the evolution of yourself as it's like, as you're evolving, you know what I mean? And being able to have these moments of awareness along the way. And I feel like we do have to stop and like do that at some point. And I had that moment with my body where I said, like, you thought you were, mine was more so about like, I never thought I was good enough for track. I never thought I was, you know, fast enough or whatever. And like when I actually saw my body outperform what my expectations were in various arenas, you know, you're like, oh, like the first time I beat a boy running, like, you know, stuff like that, where you're like, oh, like, you know what I mean? We underestimate ourselves a lot. I know what our body's potential is as women.
Yeah.
And man, that's so powerful. And so how, take me to like kind of speeding up to now, how has that evolution, like how has that evolution of you progressed? Like how have you been able to either struggle with your comfort in your skin or be even more comfortable, you know what I mean? How has that shaped you as you've, you know, gotten older?
Yeah, well, I think about like if someone would have told me that I would model swimsuits in other countries.
Like, right.
2 years ago, I probably would have been like, you don't know. You don't know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. You know. So even a few years ago, I never, ever would have thought that I am doing now what I get to do. Yeah. And so I think in what we're talking about, you know, these like evolution in seasons, mm-hmm. I think because we're always growing, because we're always becoming, you know, more into who we will leave this world as, I think in those seasons, there's like a new layer of things to discover and a new layer of things to unravel. And so right now, like I said, I'm in this half layer where it's like, I've really gotten to a point where I'm like, I love my body. You know, I love
I love it.
And there are days because, you know, we have those days where I'm like, you know, but then there are days where I'm like, yes, you better work. Mm-hmm. So like I have both, you know, and I think the layer on top of that is like, because I had come into a point where I was like, I love who I am. I love what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. I'm proud of my body and I know what she is capable of. I'm able to listen to her, give rest, you know, and all those conversations. And then right in that point where I'm like, I'm thriving. I don't need anyone or anything. Like my boyfriend came into the picture.
Hello.
And so there was like this another layer where it's that someone who's coming in and seeing you for all your stuff, all of it. And still I love and choose you still, you know? Mm-hmm. And so adding that layer on it, I'm like, well, now I feel borderline, like nothing can touch me because not only do I love myself, but I know that I am loved, you know, like without a doubt. And so there's this like very untouchable superwoman kind of feeling that I think I have because it's like, oh, I know what the secret is, you know, like the secret you know, to find that journey and yes, you love yourself so that you can create a blueprint for when you are loved. And I mean, loved well. And I don't think I've ever been, I mean, I haven't really dated, but I know that like, I have never been loved, you know, like this before. And it is so in tune with how I've learned to love myself. And I think that's what makes it so beautiful. And so now I'm at this point where I'm like, yeah, I model swimsuits. Well, I still question that sometimes.
Right. But, I was going to say, but, right.
Yeah.
Right.
I still kind of like, model, you know, but my friends are like, do you get paid? I'm like, sometimes they're like, then you need to stop putting air quotes. And I'm like, okay, it's just a funny thing to me, you know, coming from where I came from and being who I was. I'm like, it's just, it makes me giggle because of like, just like how divine it really is, you know, and how
I was gonna say, it's such a God thing.
Yeah.
It's such a God thing.
It is. Yeah. And how full circle it is. So I'm like, it just makes me laugh because like, I know God is a funny God. Like, I know he is up there laughing at so many things. He's like, watch this. Watch. Like, he just like, so I think I giggle because I'm like, you know, this is hilarious. You know, like, you know, this story is funny. And so I think that's where I'm at now, where it's like, I shot 3 swimsuits yesterday all around Pasadena, sometimes in the backyard, sometimes there were bushes on the side of the freeway that I hopped on out of my car and we took photos. Full on in swimsuits. And so that type of freedom is something I never would have had.
So do you feel free? Do you feel free in those moments?
It's like this weird thing where you're like, people are obviously staring because what is happening? Like I'm in my floral swimsuits. I got a hat, I got a towel. Yeah. And like I'm somewhere near a beach and I'm not.
And you're not.
It's like an hour from a beach.
Right.
And so, but it's so fun to just like walk around the city in a swimsuit, and I just see spots where I'm like, I want to shoot there. So we get out the car, we pull over, and we shoot there, you know. And it is so freeing, and
it
there's so much acceptance in it too, you know, where I get to see truly how far I've come. Because me 2 years ago, 3 years ago, even would have never, you know, never, ever, ever. I didn't even own swimsuits until they started sending them to me. Wow. You know, I'm like, I don't get in the water. What do I need a swimsuit for, you know? And if I did, I'd have my, like, my black one piece, you know, that had no
design. Girl, I still got a black one piece.
Yeah, like, and we all need it. We all need a black one piece because sometimes we're not trying to do too much, you know, and we just want to be there. But I have my one piece that I probably wore a skirt or a t-shirt over mm-hmm. anyway, you know? Mm-hmm. And so now it's like I have this actual storage bin of swimsuits that I've been like sent and given. And I just giggle at it because even now I still don't really get in the water, but I do nap on the side. So I guess yeah. I will do that in my yes. swimsuit. Yeah.
That's even more boss because you're like in the swimsuit, not in the water, you know?
It's not like, in the water.
Amazing. Yeah. I love that. Yeah. Well, you mentioned your relationships. Congratulations. I remember when you posted your first pic with Bae and I was like, you know, we were all screaming for you on the other end of the gram. You know what I mean? So excited. It brings me so much joy to see your joy and to see that he looks like a genuine dude. Like you got a good one.
I did get a good one.
So you said this, like how your relationship brought out this whole nother dimension of love to you and like what he's accepting me for my body. So how can I not accept my, you know what I mean? It's like this evolution of love. Like how did that journey look like at first as you guys were starting? I feel like that might be something that women can like relate to. Like you have this guy, you're nervous, right? Because there's these unseen parts, hidden parts. You've never really explored this area or been in a relationship where you had to open up the whole of you. So how did you navigate those conversations at first? What did that look like?
Very honestly, he is like a no filter, no like beat around the bush kind of person.
Yeah.
And that was very clear like from the moment I met him. Mm-hmm. And so it was very easy to be honest with him. Yeah. It was very easy to be like, look, like I haven't really dated that much. Mm-hmm. So I don't really know how this goes, you know? and it was also on the other end of like, I didn't have my first kiss until I was 25 years old. I mm-hmm. decided to like save it. And I thought I was going to make it till marriage. Did it. It's fine. But, that was like my goal. And so with things like when it came to my body and you know, holding hands and touching knees and kissing and like mm-hmm. those physical things, I had to be very honest with where I was like, I haven't done those things, you know, like I don't mm-hmm. really, I was like, it still makes me like very nervous with the fact that your knees are touching mine right now, you know, like, and so I just had to be like very candid with him and very honest. And I think I tried to do those things really to see if it was going to push him away, and it didn't. It probably made him stay even more so. And he made that very clear. And I was like, you know, I think the terrifying part is not that I know that you're going to go away, but the fact that I know you're trying to stay, like you're trying to be
it's
in this.
More and scary
I was like, I don't know which one's scarier, you know, the fact that like you're not gonna go away or the fact that you're like you're gonna go away, you know.
Right.
I think we were very honest with each other in the very beginning of everything, and that gave so much freedom. And he had seen me in the Instagram world. We met via Instagram. So he had seen my post, you know, like he had seen.
He slid up in your DMs. That's how you met.
I actually slid into his. I was like, I host an open mic. So that became my new pickup line of like, hey,
boom,
perform at my open mic, you know? And so that's technically how that conversation started, uh-huh. which is really uh-huh. fun. But, so he had seen, you know, my poetry and things like that. And I think mm-hmm. another huge testament was that he didn't see me for that. Like mm-hmm. he didn't, you know, see me for my influence or for my following or anything like that. And even in the beginning, he didn't really ask about that stuff.
Right.
Like he asked about my family and he asked about like what I love to do in my free time. And he asked if I love the moon or the sunset or things like that. And so like, I think, yeah.
Getting
so
all the silly vibes.
This very honest space with him, which made things so much easier to just be like, okay, here's all my, you know, stuff. And I'm not afraid that it's going to be too much for you, even though I did at first, you know.
Yeah,
I kept telling him, you know, I'm a lot, you know. And he was like, I don't know what that means, but also I think you keep saying that and I don't really think you're as much as you think,
right,
you
as you
are.
Think you are, right.
And I was like, whoa. And then there was like that humbling factor to it too as well. So I think it was very easy to be honest. And I someone asked me yesterday, she was like, girl, I'm going on my first date and I haven't been on one in a while. What's your advice? And one of the things I said to her was like, be yourself. I think so often we go into first dates and we're like, okay, put all the masks on, you know, like put all the fronts on.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, if they stay, they're not gonna stay for that person. They're gonna stay for who you actually are. So be who you actually are. And that was the thing that like that my boyfriend had said, like when I met him, he was in a beanie, a bright pink shirt and some shorts and his tattoos were all out. And he was like, I told myself that I was going to be like purely myself.
Yeah.
And like, I was going to put it all, like all my weird out there. And if it turned you off, then it turned you off. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's funny. Cause it did the opposite. Like I saw you in your beanie and your pink shirt. And I said, yes, that one.
Over there. You know?
And so it's funny because like, I think we were already ready to like, one, not play games, you know, and two, like we've learned and grown too much into who we are to be anybody else.
Yeah.
And at this point in time in our lives, if someone does not accept and love that, then that's not a someone we need in our life, you know, because we've done too much work to get here. And I think we were both at that place, which made it super easy to be as honest as we were.
Man, I love that. Like when it's I feel like a lot of women might feel like right now in society, it's hard to meet these guys and girl combinations and for things to work in that way, you know, and obviously, you know, there's the trusting God part of it and that's a legitimate thing. But I think that is the struggle with when you're dealing with like, you know, these body image issues and then you have to add the dating and then what we talked about, which we won't go into on this call, but the purity culture, if you grew up in that whole, I kiss dating goodbye, the whole, that whole segment, which I actually have a friend coming on that we're going to go a little bit deeper into that. But I think that's a narrative that we kind of overlook and how that impacted, you know, our generation, essentially, if you're in the late 20s, you know, to 30 somethings and how that really impacted how you view relations, how you view yourself, and then how you view, you know, your femininity, your just so many things, all the things. So I'm glad that he's been able to like receive you as you are. And then as you navigate this newness, this newfound relationship and coming into, you know, what it looks like to be with someone else. That is amazing. So we have a limited amount of time, but I want to talk about your work because I think it's so beautiful and I don't want to glaze over it. And I was reading your book, Right Buddy Spoke Pretty. And so is this book it's two of you, right? Is it, but it's not, is it defined like whose work is whose? Okay.
No. So that's the tricky part. So it's fun because it's like people who know both of us can tell who wrote what, which is really cool, but we purposely didn't want to put the titles in there kind of for, it doesn't matter. And two, it's like the words itself, we want people to interpret. And so I did a version of that in my first book too. We left some of them untitled and we gave the books out with pins so that the readers could decide what they wanted to title the poem. So same like that, poetry is supposed to be, we wrote it in a certain way, but how the audience interprets it is specifically for their journey and for who they are. And so we wanted it to be interchangeable like that.
I love that. You have this poem though that is called This Body Girl. I don't know if it's, I'm guessing it's your words, but I'm just like.
That's mine. Yeah.
I know. It's like, no. Like the people. Okay. So I have like a couple things I pulled from it. I want to read. You probably should read it, but I have it over here.
I could if you want me to.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I'm sure you know like all your stuff by heart. But
Well, this one I don't, but I have the book. I keep the book on my coffee table. So.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. Pull it out and maybe just an excerpt, like the strongest excerpts to you as we go through. I don't know. Just you have to. We are curvy with more handles. Okay. I'm not even gonna go. I'll let you say yourself. You go.
Okay. I'll do the second stanza. So we have been wrestling with these bodies, treating them more like battlegrounds than temples, more temporary homes than lighthouses. We have pinched, pulled, and tugged, allowed shattered mirrors to blind our perceptions. We have squirmed in this skin for too long. So let's make a pact that we would love these curves, these thighs, and every handle, that we would tuck grace-filled declarations into every part of these bodies, that we would begin each day with mantras in the mirror. This body is mine. This body is beautiful. This body is mine. This body is beautiful. That's like the first like three little stanzas.
So good. So good. You guys on Amazon right now, Write Bloody, Spill Pretty. You guys have to get it. It's just so powerful. So, I mean, before we go, I think I had some like rapid fire questions. Let me see if there's anything that I missed. Okay, we're going to rapid fire and then I'll do the whole like, where can people find you thing. So let's do rapid fire first. Okay. So if you can go back in time, what would you tell 13-year-old Ariel?
I would tell her that she can only see a small part of the story and that it is going to be bigger than she could ever imagine. That she would touch hearts and touch lives with her words and not to keep them to herself.
Ooh, chills. Okay. What? I'm serious though. Okay, what do you love most about yourself in this season?
I actually really love my hips right now. I think in terms of like loving my body and hips, I've like really grown like, cause I have a small waist, but then my hips are like, woo, there they are. And so I've like learned to like really love my waist and also just like the actual sound of my voice is something I'm learning to love a lot more.
Yes. It's unique to you for sure. A little bit of rasp in there. I love that.
Yeah.
You have all the things that make like the millennial girl, like all the things, small waist. Oh, I'm just learning to love my big lips and my small waist and my raspy voice. Get out of here. Oh my gosh. Okay. Is there any part of you that you're still learning to accept and love?
Probably my thighs. I have like, I think just there might be more genetic than they are anything else. I have really bad glucose veins on my thighs. So they're like very prominent. So I tend to not like wear shorts and even in swimsuit stuff, like sometimes they'll take them out. Sometimes they won't, which is really fun to see like which ones I'll get, but I try to post both. But those are probably the places where I'm like, I thought about like, oh, do I like want to get these like removed or what does that look like? And I think right now I'm learning to be like, okay, I love them as they are, but like, just because I feel more comfortable without them. Yeah. So, but that's probably like my thighs. I'm like, they can touch, whatever. That's like always going to be the case. But I think specifically those like very prominent purple veins that are just like on my legs. And I'm like, oh, I'm too young for these, I think. And so, yeah.
Okay. Any hidden talents?
This is not really hidden, but I can do a really good like British accent. Sometimes I really like Adele, so I watch a lot of Adele videos and I just like watch them on loop and she's like, hello, my name's Adele and this is my song Rolling in the Deep. So that's like something I could do sometimes.
That's nice. Okay. Most annoying habit.
Probably that. Most annoying habit. Oh man. Right now I'm late more often than I would like to be late to places. And so I'm personally trying to like check that myself. And so my goal right now is to reverse that by trying to get places at least 10 minutes early. So
boom.
Yeah. Boom.
Final question. At the end of the day, what do you hope people will say about you?
That she was really approachable and that she loved well.
Yay, and buzzer fan. Love it. Ariel, thank you so much for coming on today. It means so much to me. Seriously, I had such a great time chatting with you, and I know this is going to resonate with a lot of women, so thank you. Where can people find you if they're looking for you in the social world, in the other worlds? I don't know.
Yeah. All the world. So everything will be Ariel Astoria, whether that's arielastoria.com, Ariel Astoria on iTunes and Spotify. You can find me under Ariel Astoria and Ariel Wilburn on Amazon, or you can search for both my books, which are all on my website. So there's shops. So we have t-shirts on there and prints as well and books and then my album. And then if you SoundCloud, you can underground me on there, also Ariel Astoria. But you can find all things at Ariel Astoria.
Yay. Thank you, girly. Okay, have an amazing day. We'll talk soon.
Thanks. You too.
Bye. All right, y'all. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Inkfully podcast. I'm so glad that you were here with me, of course, always. Listen, come hit me up on Instagram. I would love to hear your thoughts on the show. Let me know if it resonated with you. And just come share your thoughts with the community. I know that there's someone out there that needs to hear what you have to say. Let's encourage each other and keep this thing going. All right, have an amazing day. I cannot wait to talk with you this week. And I will see you next Wednesday.